Greetings, friends, and welcome to this broadcast of Bible Studies. Ken Baird, your speaker. Today on the broadcast, we are going to begin a new series of studies, which we are going to call the Model Prayer. And of course, we are referring to the prayer in the 6th chapter of Matthew that the Lord gave his disciples as a matter of an outline of prayer. It is a wonderful, wonderful prayer in itself, but it is, I think, even more wonderful when we realize that that prayer that the Lord gave his disciples was a prayer that is a model for all prayers. And we're going to go through it. I'm going to read the prayer. We'll introduce it first by reading in the 6th chapter of Matthew. Verse 6 of that chapter, "But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet. When thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. And when ye pray, use not vain repetitions, as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. Be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before ye ask him. After this manner therefore pray ye: Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. For if ye forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses." Now let's think of this prayer, if you will, please. This prayer is a model prayer. Did you notice when we were reading that the Lord says, "After this manner, therefore pray ye"? Now, he does not say, "After these words, therefore pray ye." It is not to be prayed in rote, because you can lose sight of the beauty of this prayer by doing so. But it is more than simply a lovely prayer. It is indeed a model for all prayers. Now, we're going to see that as we consider the subjects that we're going to touch on when we're going to talk upon this so-called Lord's Prayer, really the disciples' prayer. The Lord never had to pray this prayer. He gave it to his disciples, and in that sense, it's from the Lord, and we may call it the Lord's Prayer. And we do call it the Lord's Prayer. But we're going to take up the subject under 7 headings to show you the beauty and the arrangement that God wants us to use when we approach him. Now, I think I can say that advisedly. All right, first of all, in our subject today, we're going to consider our Father which is in heaven, hallowed be thy name. And we need to be persons of reverence. Isn't that a reverent way to start a prayer? Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Oh, words packed, fraught with importance to our souls. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Now we're going to take it up as persons of reverence. If we pray this prayer, we're going to be reverent. And it's well, when we come into the presence of God, to be reverent. We just don't rush into his presence. We do it thoughtfully. I knew of a man once who, before he prayed, ever and always, it was his subject, or his habit, that's the way to put it, it was his habit to just stop and think, who am I going to be speaking to? He was a reverent person, and he waited, and then he came into the presence of God softly and with great reverence. All right, now, and then following that, on our next broadcast, we will consider thy kingdom come. We need to be persons of faith. God said his kingdom is coming right here on this earth, right where we live and breathe and have our being. All right. And then thirdly, in the third broadcast, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Now, if anybody prays this prayer, with any sense of propriety. He's going to be a person of obedience. Thy will be done on earth. And Lord, help me to do it. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And then, on the next broadcast, we will take up the subject, give us this day our daily bread. We need to be persons of dependence. We need daily dependence upon God. Give us this day. All right? And then the next broadcast will be, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. We need to be forgiving persons. When we pray, we'd better be forgiving persons, or the Lord may not pay much attention to us. And then after that, deliver us from evil. We need to be persons of humility. We're aligned against principalities and powers of the spirits of wickedness in heavenly places. We need the help of the Lord. We need to be humble. We need to not shake our fist at Satan. We need to regard him with the caution that we should. We need the help of the Lord in that matter. And then lastly, we will take up the subject, for thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Now, we need to be persons given to worship. This is a worship verse. It is a verse for what God is, where he is, and what he's doing. So you see, we have our hands full to describe the beauty of this wonderful, wonderful prayer. This prayer, the model prayer that the Lord gave us. After this manner, pray ye. Now, I don't object to the repetition of the Lord's Prayer, but it can be simply a manner of rote. I recall visiting a man once in a hospital many years ago, and I opened up the subject about our eternal destiny and the love of God and so on. And he wanted me to convince me that he was a very religious person. So he started repeating the so-called Lord's Prayer. And he went through it so fast, faultlessly, never missing a word. And then when he got through, he went through it again and again and again. And I didn't give it a chance to speak. I just had to get up and excuse myself and leave him in his hospital bed. Well, he convinced me that he knew the so-called Lord's Prayer, but that's all he convinced me of. Now, let's think about this reverence. We begin this reverence with a consciousness of who God is. I think of Isaiah's experience in the 6th chapter of Isaiah. Isaiah, that young prophet, that wonderful prophet, had an experience. He says there in the 6th chapter of Isaiah, verse 1, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. And above it stood the seraphims. Each one had 6 wings. With 20 he covered his face, with 20 he covered his feet, and with 20 he did fly. And one cried unto another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And the posts of the door moved, trembled at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. Then said I, Woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and dwell in the midst of the people of unclean lips, for mine eyes have seen the King. Isaiah was brought into the presence of God. What an introduction. Now later, we find out that Isaiah is cleansed of his and he understood it, a man of unclean lips. Then blew one of the seraphims, verse 6, unto me having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with the tongs from off the altar. And he laid it upon in my mouth, and said, Lo, this hath touched thy lips, and thine iniquity is taken away, and thy sin purged. Also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, Whom shall I send, and who will go for us? Then said I, Here am I, send me. And God gives Isaiah a commission. Now he's a young man, and this is the beginning of his ministry for the Lord. How did it begin? With that reverence of who God is. And all our service should begin with a real reverence Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Oh, how wonderful it is to think that we're going into the presence of a God. After his commission, and after all, his commission was not a pleasant one, because Israel was away from God, and he had to rebuke them for their sin, and they hated him for it. Now, reverence continues with where God is. Ecclesiastes chapter 5 and verse 22. This is Solomon's advice. We've talked about Isaiah's experience. Now, let's get Solomon's advice in this matter of going into the presence of God. We read in, for instance, in Ecclesiastes 5, 2, where he reads, Solomon says in writing, "Be not rash with thy mouth, and let not thine heart be hasty to utter anything before God, for God is in his heaven, and thou art upon earth. Therefore let thy words be few," and I may add, "well chosen." Okay, God is in his heaven. Where he is very, very important. He's on the throne that governs the universe. We need that reverence when we go into the presence of God, and not be just treat God as a buddy-buddy relationship. I've heard that done in prayer, and I don't think it's reverent, and I don't think it's becoming to the glory of God. And now here we are, we, you and I, may go into the presence of God, and Solomon's his advice is be careful when you go into the presence of God. Now reverence is increased when we realize what God can do. Now, David says in 1 Chronicles chapter 29, I love the words of David here. We'll read them hurriedly. He says in verse 10 of that chapter, "Wherefore David blessed the Lord before all the congregation and said, Blessed be thou, Lord God of Israel, our Father, for ever and ever. Thine, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty, if you please. For all that is in heaven and in the earth is thine. Thine is the kingdom, O God, O Lord. Thou art exalted as head above all. Both riches and honor come of thee." Verse 13, "Thou, therefore, our God, we thank thee and praise thy glorious name." David was a man of God. And think of the expletives here that he uses, the wonderful grace and glory that he grants to God. And so our reverence is increased when we realize what God can do. Are we reverent in our prayers? We have a great God. Let's let this model prayer speak to us at the beginning of this series. Our Father, we ask in the name of the Lord Jesus today to bless and sanctify these words for our own good. We pray in Christ's name, giving thanks. Amen.